And when we're talking about sports, the sports writing hierarchy is incomplete without the name of Benjamin Franklin DeFord, who died Sunday, longtime fixture on National Public Radio and a guest many times on this program. And Jane Levy, he was a true great one.
Oh, my. I actually did go and post it on Facebook, and I haven't gone to look recently at how much response it's gotten, but, you know, it's in the stratosphere of response from readers of Frank's, and I was so upset I misspelled his name, Cardinal Reportorial Sin. I capitalized the F, and he's one of those guys that you were just privileged to know. And of course, I did as a person growing up reading Sports Illustrated. It was the first thing you turned to. Was there a Frank DeFord piece in the back of the book? And it was the best reason, even when you felt that the magazine was going downhill and losing all its other star power. If Frank was there, that was good enough reason to read it.
Well, he lasted a long time, and he was a triple threat in media. He was a television personality with Bryant Gumbel. He was on National Public Radio for 37 years, and his sports writing career lasted more than half a century. And we're talking about how exceptional he was, but he would note that he was not the most exceptional business person. He failed miserably when he started a magazine of his own.
Oh, my. Well, it was really a newspaper.
The National.
Yeah, that was it was called the National. And I was reading all these guys today who said, and he called me and he asked me for a job. He offered me a job. And I thought, my God, he didn't offer me one. What was I doing wrong? It was a glorious staff that he put together. And it was ahead of his time. You know, I was actually just reading. I went back and read today. He won the Red Smith Award. And he gave the lecture in 2010, and the title of his lecture is Sports Writer is One Word, which is, as you probably know, if you try to type out sports writer, every spell check will go and change it into two words. They can't get the idea that it's a single thing, which makes us different, as Frank pointed out. There's only one species of reporter that's a one-word thing. And, you know, his essay about it, which basically says, well, maybe that's because we were perceived to be too close to our subject and not able to stand back, was sort of a funny way to look at it. Maybe he was right about that. But, you know, Frank was too elegant, both in his bearing, his tall, comparably elegant self, too well-dressed, too Princetonian, to really be a beat writer. I mean, my God, you know, he was sartorial in language, and he wore purple, you know, and he in his lecture, he goes talking about what sports writers are like. My friend Dave Kindred, who'll kill me for this, you know, I used to give him a hard time. You know, male sports writers particularly, can never put together things that go together. So Dave used to go out and get outfits that were literally made, the shirt and the tie, were of the same fabric. I would sit there and go, you got to be kidding me. Frank could put together words as well as he could put together clothes. And I was actually thoroughly, lucky to be on a panel with him in 2013 at a book fair in Charlottesville, moderated by a pal named Tim Wendell, who's a great author, sports writer, and novelist, and Dave Zierend, the sports critic radio guy, who's really interesting, was on it. John Grisham was on it, and Frank was on it, and I was on it. I'm always the girl, you know, gets thrown in for ballast. And Frank came in late, and already you could hear the difficulty with his breathing, and his voice was thinning. And he was late, Tim and I were texting back and forth, and neither of us could remember whether he got there late because planes were delayed or whatever. Tim was recalling that he was really trying to keep an eye out for him, make sure he was okay, because there was a real sense that he was tired, worn out. It was a 90-minute panel. And at the end, Tim pointed out to me this afternoon, you know, Frank grabbed him at the end in the front hall and said, you know, thanks for looking out for me. I mean, he was the kind of gentleman who would have noticed that. When I went to look at the picture today of him receiving his award from Obama in 2013 also.
Yep.
I didn't realize how, I mean, he looked like he was not feeling well. And yet he continued to produce incomparable things. I was reading this afternoon, he was talking about, you know, the devil is in the details. I always thought it was God was in the details. Maybe I've had it wrong for all these uh-huh. years. But then he went on to say, writing is in the details, which is something when I teach kids to write, I say that all the time. It's the little thing that you catch. And Frank was known, among other things, for not overquoting athletes who are known for saying banal things. But in this piece that he wrote about Jimmy Connors in 78, he used this phrase, which he, I mean, it was breathtaking, literally took your breath away, talking about a man who took the ball on the rise. And he was explaining both how he generated power in his aggressive approach to the ball. Would you mind if I read a paragraph of
it?
For power, Connors learned to literally throw himself at the ball. His main source of strength comes from his size. It is his secret, a perfect fluid weight transfer. And then finally he grew adept at what is known in tennis as hitting the ball on the rise, meeting the ball as it comes off the court before it bounces to its apex. That is the ultimate attack, taking it on the rise, a man spitting back bullets, speeds up the game infinitesimally in time, exponentially, in fact, by putting constant pressure upon the other man. To hit on the rise requires three essentials: excellent vision, Connors is 20/15, superb coordination, he even slugs with a trampoline-like steel racket, remember when those were new, and utter confidence. So, A, it's a beautiful and perceptive explanation of what distinguished Connors and how he changed the way a sport was played at a transformational moment. But because this was also a story about a man who was so inextricably linked to his mother and his grandmother, and this crazy combination of love and hate and kindness and bravado, the theme of the piece was about his inability to take love on the rise. And so at the very end, it comes back to this last sentence, which I remember reading in the magazine in 1978. It says, it is strange that as powerful as the love is that consumes the Connors, which is awkward, Jimbo has always depended on hate in order to win. And all along, that must have been the hard way. There's no telling how far a man could go who could learn to take love on the rise. And I literally remember falling back in my bed and going, oh, my God. And a year later, I moved to Washington, and I happened at that particular moment to meet then Justice John Paul Stevens of the Supreme Court, was in his chambers and was expecting, I don't know what, to be asked about something, whatever, pertaining to something in the world. All he wanted to talk about was Frank DeFord and that piece and that line.
Well, he was one of a kind. In the New York Times obituary, he said that he missed the characters. He says there aren't as many of those in sport today, and he's probably right.
I'm not sure whether it's a lack of characters, Jim, or a lack of access to characters, which is something else he talked about in several of his summary interviews over the years. You know, access used to be something you talked about that involved highways. And you didn't used to have a word that was a transition between a reporter and a person you wanted to talk to. You just went and talked to that person. Now it's a premeditated act involving many echelons of requests and explanations for why you are making the request and who you are and who else you've spoken to. You need bona fides to ask somebody, you know, how they hit the ball. And Frank talked about how he came along at exactly that right period of time when you still could talk to people. And they were willing to talk back to you in an unguarded way and give you more than, you know, three sentences as they were walking off to the locker room.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Jane Levy, who soon will have a biography of Babe
Ruth. Next fall, Jim, next fall. It's called The Big Fella.
And like Babe Ruth, Frank DeFord was a proud son of Baltimore. Two Giants.
Indeed. He sure was. I should have asked him about him, but I should have talked to him about it. Oh, my God. Anyway, thank you, Jim.
Thank you,
Jane.
I really
appreciate it.